Welcome to Opens Here. My name is Greg Horn. Continue our conversation with pastor and author Elizabeth Stone. We've had a powerful week this week talking about her book that she co-authored with her daughter Erin Stone called Valley of the Shadow. They address a topic that unfortunately the church, we don't talk a lot about it, and that's suicide. And her 17-year-old daughter Erin attempted suicide a few years ago as a 17-year-old, and nobody saw it coming. They had a great family, and yet, as we know, the enemy loves to steal, kill, and destroy. And thankfully, this is a story of hope where her daughter survived. But it's been powerful this week. So I want to encourage you, if you've been through this or you know somebody that has, you need to go share these programs with them. They're only 14 minutes long. You can go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today, and listen to those programs or share them with somebody. And you know, Elizabeth, yesterday you were sharing, because we were talking about that God never wastes a hurt, and you shared the great scripture of the story from scripture about obviously Judas and Peter both let Jesus down, but they handled it in different ways. We know Judas ended his life, unfortunately, by suicide. Peter, of course, God used to build his church upon him, using him as one of the great people to do that because he asked for forgiveness and sought Jesus. But you were talking about scars when we ended yesterday's program. Can you continue talking about that?
I'm sorry. And I got so excited. I wasn't watching the time, but I want to share this with you because it was so important to me. When Thomas actually gets to meet Jesus after the resurrection, and you'll remember that he wasn't present at the original meeting with the other 10 disciples. He said, unless I see the scars in his hands and put my hand in his side, I will never believe. I will never believe. And I love Thomas. I like to call him Honest Thomas. Everybody calls him Doubting Thomas. But I like Honest Thomas because I think he asked the questions that nobody else is brave enough to ask. But the thing that impressed me so much about this story in Scripture was that Jesus still had his scars after the resurrection. Now, I would think if I resurrected, I would want that perfect body, you know, no scars, all the things that have happened in my life to be washed away. But Jesus had the scars. In fact, they are glorified. If you read in Revelation, it says that the Lamb that was slain is on the throne of God. His scars are still visible while he is in glory. And why would that be? And I think the reason it is because none of us, including Jesus, gets through this life without scars. Whatever we have happen, it gets cut into us and it makes marks on us. But I would also like to say that we are like a light, a clay vessel. And when those gouges and cuts are made in the clay and then it's fired and you put a light down inside it, the light shines through the gouges and through the scars of the clay. So I like to think that when we have been scarred by life and things are tough, the light of Jesus shows through those things. And it makes our witness to Christ more relatable and more authentic, because we are coming to people not as perfect people, but we are broken people, sinners who have been forgiven by Christ, and we have been transformed by grace, and that we have nothing that we can offer them except to introduce them to our Savior.
Well, and I think that's so important for people to hear, because so many times the lie that the enemy feeds so many people that are followers of Jesus or people that have never accepted Jesus, because, well, if you knew everything that I had done, and yet here's Peter, who, you know, denied the guy that he did life with day in and day out for 3 years, and yet Jesus affirmed him again by asking if he loved me. And of course, he did it not once, not twice, but three times, which I just thought the visual of that canceling out the three times he denied Jesus was so powerful. So I hope today, if you're listening and you've lost hope, can God ever use me? He can't use somebody that's went through a bankruptcy or divorce, such as Greg Horn, or somebody that's had a child that's attempted suicide. Those are lies from the enemy, straight from the pit of hell. And I want you to be encouraged today that God can use your one and only life. What else would you elaborate on that?
Well, I would also say that one of the things that makes us effective for the kingdom of God is that we become a safe place for people. And we talked about this a little bit in the other program, But when I have gone to women's expos and when I have gone to different activities and I set up a table with our books and talk to people, I cannot tell you how many times people have come up to me and have shared their stories. And I am the first safe place they have found to be able to share their stories about suicide. And the stories can be very tragic. One woman came up to me and she was sharing a story of how she was in an abusive relationship and she decided to leave the man who was abusing her, but she took a bunch of over-the-counter medications, just exactly what Aaron did, and ended up in the hospital. And when she awoke, also a couple days later, just like Aaron did, she found out that when she went in the hospital, she had been pregnant. And even though she survived the suicide attempt, her unborn child did not. And she had never been able to share that grief with anybody before. We become a safe place when we say, it doesn't matter what you've been through. Jesus understands it all. Jesus has seen it all. The other thing that I would say is for the heart of a parent, we find ourselves in a situation where we think nobody can understand. But God himself sacrificed his son. God's heart knows what it's like to lose a child and to look that demon in the face. And so we know that in the heart of God, we can find comfort and we can also find sympathy. And one of the verses that has been incredibly encouraging to me, and it comes from Jeremiah 31, verse 16 and 17, and I'm going to read it to you so I don't mess it at all up. Thus says the Lord, keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for there is a reward for your work, declares the Lord. And they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord, and your children shall come back to their own country. This, of course, was said to the exiles in Babylon. But the point is that our enemy, our ancient enemy, is the devil, and he wants our kids. And God says here, there's a reward for our work. All the time we've invested in our kids, all the things we have done for them to teach them about faith, all the ways we have catechized them and instructed them and taken them to places where they could be instructed are not wasted. In the economy of heaven, everything counts. So when we get discouraged as parents, we have to remember that there is hope for our future and our children are going to come back from the land of the enemy. And if not in this life, in the next. So we have this promise from God in Jeremiah that our kids are loved more by God than they are loved by us, and he is a far better parent than we could ever hope to be. So when I feel like, what have I done wrong? That's not the right question. The right question is, how can I put them in God's hands and know that somehow this is going to come out for them and bring them back from the enemy's territory?
That's a powerful scripture, Jeremiah 31, 12 and 13. Is that right?
16 and 17.
I'm sorry, Jeremiah 31, 16 and 17. Another point that you brought up in your book that I thought was really important, just whether it's somebody that's struggled with a suicide or not, but you, for anybody that's a follower that's kind of gotten weak, you said you learned to use your weaponry, and you said that's what helped get you through the darkest days, prayer, scripture, and music. And I know that sounds so basic, but I think sometimes as Christians, we make it too complicated, or the enemy wants to make it complicated. And yet, man, those three basics, I could so resonate with that. And one of the things, obviously, prayer and scripture, I think enough goes without saying, but maybe your prayer time has been shortened, or you're not spending time God's in Word enough, and he wants to speak to you through scripture. But music, I also love music. Unlike you, I can't sing, but talk about how music helped get you through this season, challenging season of life.
Well, I love any kind of music, and I'll sing anything with the Jesus message. That's the truth. But even if you're not good at singing, I had a really, really good friend who struggled with depression. And whenever she felt like she was being oppressed by this depression, she would turn on the radio to a Christian radio station, or she'd put in one of her favorite Christian CDs. And she said that acted like a breastplate for her and like the helmet of salvation, because it lifted her from focusing on her things to other things. And even though she wasn't a great musician or a great singer, she would sing along and make a joyful noise to the Lord. So for me, yes, this is one of my weapons. I'll sing hymns, I'll play the piano, I'll play the guitar, I'll do whatever I have to in order to refocus my thoughts. But something about repeating those words and going back to music that has been meaningful to you in the past and has lifted your faith, those are things that are touchstones that we repeat. I think also the touchstones of the things that we do every week in church. For example, in our church every week we repeat the Lord's Prayer. That's something from childhood that I have known, that I learned at my parents' knees. And that those words become more and more meaningful the older we get, to just go back to those touchstones. What are the things that we do and say that seal us into the family of God and keep us at His throne?
Been talking with Elizabeth Stone. She is a pastor and author of a book called Valley of the Shadow. And you talked about in your book, Elizabeth, about, you know, just because we're followers of Jesus doesn't mean that we're going to be, you know, protected necessarily all the time from not having to walk through that valley of the shadow of death. Talk a little bit about that.
Okay. The place you're pointing to, it says, why does He take us through the valley of the shadow of death? To love us, to give us more grace, to meet greater need, to grow us spiritually, and to remind us that we are dependent on Him. When we walk through the valley with Him, we experience the vastness of His love for us, that love which is unsearchable, the depth and breadth and width and length of God's compassion on His own. Jesus said in John that we were going to still have tribulations. He told us that we would still be in the world and that we would still have trouble and trial and tribulations. But He also said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The only way that we can keep ourselves on a steady path of faith in the hard times is to realize, first of all, this is normal. Peter even said the same thing. Why are you so surprised when various trials and temptations come at you? It's the normal Christian life. The question is, are we doing the normal Christian thing of staying hooked into our head and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we continuing to meet with His people? Are we continuing to read His Word? And I would just say, because I know time's running short, that community is the other big factor in keeping us spiritually strong. You cannot love the Lord in a vacuum. You need to be connected with other believers through church, through Bible studies, through fellowship groups, sometimes just doing something fun together. So for me, church family has been a huge impact. Even when they didn't understand, they were there, and that's so important.
Well, I think that's great. I talk about that a lot on here, that Jesus modeled that because He could have saved the world by Himself, but yet God had Him choose 12 guys to do life with. But there was even three that were kind of His inner circle, Peter, James, and John. So, yes, community is huge. So you may have gotten hurt by church, but I want to challenge you to try again and go this Sunday and be blessed and encouraged. 30 seconds, tell us this book. Why should people get this book?
This book is breaking the silence. Our whole purpose in writing this book was to open the conversation about suicide prevention, suicide recovery, and what the church's response ought to be. So that's it.
Well, it's great. We've had a great week. If you missed this, I want to encourage you to go to Elizabeth's website, valleyoftheshadow.org, valleyoftheshadow.org, and pick up a copy of Valley of the Shadow. I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.